Hello and welcome to another Nine Circles Audio Thing. Buke here. On this episode, I interview guitarist and frontman vocalist Ethan McCarty of Colorado doom metal band Primitive Man on the eve of their release for Immersion out August 14th on Relap Records. It was a fun interview, but I just wanted to mention a quick note. You'll hear a couple times throughout this interview that Ethan's phone broke up a couple of times. Shouldn't cause too much disruption. Just wanted to let you know you may hear it drop out.
Nine Circles here with another Audio Thing interview. This time I am joined by Ethan of Primitive Man. You may know them as Denver's own doom metal band, Death Doom, whatever you want to say. It's the heaviest fucking band I know. Ethan, how's everything going today, brother?
It's going all right. How about yourself?
Everything's fine, buddy. Just like we mentioned before, I fired up the record here. Just still in lockdown. I was spending the morning looking at hiking trails or something to get into that can keep me safe from everybody else, though, just trying to stay safe.
Yeah, I mean, same here.
So, Ethan, I have to ask, how's things out in Colorado now? If it's obviously, you know, it could be worse. I could be talking to you, and you know, you could be down in Florida now.
Yeah, I mean, so a couple of days ago I saw that the cases were going down. There's still a lot of protesting and shit like that going on, though.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of one of those things.
Yeah.
We're definitely not like Florida. That's okay. Not like Florida getting hit by the fucking virus like that. Our governor's been pretty good about trying to control shit, so we'll see. They're letting some kids back into school in some districts, and so that's got me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, you know, here in Maryland, I'm a father of a little 6-year-old. They have her for the first semester. Schools are doing all virtual, so that's good because you know I just look at schools with the virus and close contact, and it can make anybody nervous that. You know, try and get a 6 or a 10-year-old or a fucking high school senior to wear a mask.
Yeah, no shit.
But here we are, brother. The main reason for this call not to talk about the virus like your Dr. Fauci here, or you and I are pandemic experts. You know, the one thing you and I know is we know heavy metal, and you guys here after 3 years are returning with Immersion that comes out next week, is it, on the 14th?
Yep, on the 14th.
Yep, so first off, how is it that after 3 years, was it just that, hey, why not? Let's come back now with this material you guys had done for a while, or you thought it was the perfect time to come back now?
We've just kind of been writing for a little bit, and I don't know, we were just ready to record it, ready to get it down.
Put it out for the masses, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been touring on Caustic for 3 years, and then, you know, we're doing, like, splits and noise LPs and shit in between that, but it's just not the same. So, I don't know, we felt like it was time. You know?
Yeah, Ethan, I have never had the fortunate chance to see you guys live yet here in Maryland. I don't know why I haven't, but to like members here on staff, when they knew I was going to be doing an interview with you, the description of Primitive Man Live is that the fabric in your clothing fucking vibrates. It shakes.
That's sick.
Like, that was the description my friend Vincent said, that literally the fabric on your shirt you feel vibrating. Like, it's, you guys are that heavy. Is that something when you started doing music? I know Scoring came out back in 2013, but you've obviously been playing music probably growing up your whole life. Not to speak for you, was that a conscious effort? Did you just love reverb and low tones like that? You and the rest of the guys in the band?
Yeah. We I've always loved that kind of stuff. Always loved doom and things like that. So I've been playing in grindcore bands and death metal bands and hardcore bands before Primitive Man. And so, I don't know, just felt like it was time to be super loud and slow and atmospheric and heavy for this new project,
yeah. When you're up on stage, I'm sure looking at crowd reaction and stuff, do you ever get a sense of how loud you guys are up on stage? Like, the fans' reaction when they come out, because you're not coming out and hitting the fans with fucking pyro or something like you guys are Rammstein. But do you ever see like the fans' reaction, like people like mouthing like "wow" or "holy fuckers" or something?
The one thing that I see pretty consistently is that we'll do noise interludes in between metal songs, and I'll see people just fucking grab their ears and say stuff to their friends. and so that's the one thing that I see like pretty much every night. but I like real bad about looking at the crowd. I don't look really. The only time I'll look is if there's like an insane mosh pit. And the only reason I see people cover their ears when I'm playing those noise interludes is because I'm looking down at my pedal board and I'm tuning, and there'll usually be people at the front of the stage.
I don't know if you have one, but Apple Watches now give like a alert when your noise goes over a safe level that may cause permanent hearing damage and stuff. So I'm sure you probably have set a couple Apple Watches off.
I have one of those. I have one of those, and I made the mistake of wearing it on stage one time accidentally, and it was just vibrating the whole time, and I was just like, oh, fuck, it was terrible.
I think it was a Simpsons or a Family Guy episode. Your fucking watch one day is just going to off itself from too much noise. I'm not an artist. I don't play up on stage. What sense? I've always wondered, like, what sense up on stage do you guys have coming out of your speakers of the sound that you guys are putting forth to the crowd?
Well, I'm sorry. Can you ask me that again?
I was saying, like, since I'm not in a band, I'm never an artist. I'm just a lifelong fan of metal. So I do my interviews. I don't play in any band. But where I'm getting with this is, when you guys are up on stage playing, do you have a sense of how loud you guys are that the crowd's really hearing?
I mean, for me, when it's loud like we want it to be, it feels great.
Oh, that's awesome.
It feels perfect. It's those nights where it's not loud, which doesn't happen very often anymore. But there have been nights where shit has been all fucked up and not loud, and it has totally sucked. It just doesn't have the same experience. I love the loud amps. I love feeling the tone. That's another reason I play doom is for the physical sensations you get,
Yeah. Okay, now, Ethan, that leads me to a great question. Does your guys' sound and playing doom, I've gone on YouTube and I've watched clips of bands playing like Bakken or huge festivals. Does your guys' sound and how loud and, you know, like the physical side of it, you know, the shaking of the fabric in your clothing, does that transfer well to a out? Because, like, Maryland Death Fest used to be in the parking lot here in Baltimore, some of the larger acts. Do you find that the sound transfers if you play in, like, a festival setting?
We played Hellfest in France a couple of years ago, and that was outside. And it was super loud and seemed okay. Yeah, I mean, it seemed okay. But we haven't done a lot of outdoor shows, just probably like a handful in the band's whole lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
They've been okay. I don't prefer them.
Yeah. Because, like, yeah, I watched the video, a couple months ago of you guys playing St. Vitus in New York. And if there was ever a perfect, like, show for you guys, like, Vitus was like almost seems like a perfect shoe fit for you guys.
Yeah, we love playing there, man. It's like one of my favorite places to play.
Yeah, I have never been there, but I've heard that venue, just like, you know, the way like the band walks through the crowd, like it's a real intimate show setting.
Yeah, it's cool. It's one of the best venues in America, if you ask me.
But you know what, my God, if you guys, you know, you being in the Denver area, and if you guys ever get an invite to Red Rock, my God, you may call it the fucking rock slide.
You know, that's like my dream. I feel like that's like the one thing that will never happen for us that I would want so bad,
yeah,
to play there, you know.
That'd be you ever had a chance to catch a show there?
Yeah, I have. You know, I'm from Denver, born and raised, so I've seen a few shows there.
And how is that venue as good as what I've read, like, you know, one of the best in the world, like, the sound-wise and stuff?
I mean, when I've gone, I've had a really good time.
Yeah.
You know, every time that I've done that shit, but I haven't been in a few years, so.
Yeah, I've seen Opeth, you know, I saw the video of them playing there. It seemed like they loved it. But yeah, it seems like it's at the world class venue. Emergent about to come out. You know, obviously with the pandemic and stuff going on, has this obviously, you know, to speak for you, I would assume any touring plans and stuff are kind of put on hold for the time being. So much
in
the fucking ass.
No, I mean, it's okay. There are apparently some bands trying to play shows and shit, but we're not one of them. You know, I'm waiting for it to be safe.
You know, it is. You know, I asked that question about touring. It almost seems like a no-brainer. Like, yeah, why would we? But I saw a report yesterday that two cruise lines who thought it was a good time to go back and start operating are in port again with virus outbreaks. Who in their right mind thinks it's a good time to go on the fucking cruise right now?
I just think that it's like people are, I don't know how to be fucking patient. It's like if we could just wait for just a few months, then we could just get back to our lives and live
yeah.
it. But people can't do that shit, and it's going to just drag this on for way too
long. Yeah, for way too long. You know, that's exactly it. I was talking to my girlfriend about that the other day. You just hit the head, you know, the nail right on his head. People for a couple months just can't, you know what, stay home, play video games, listen to music, can't do whatever they want to do. They want to go out and go to bars or go to the beach and drink and party. Just fucking wear your mask and stop being selfish for a while.
Yeah. Just fucking give it a second so that we can all enjoy it. But instead, you know, they're going to go out there. They're going to get fucking sick. Or they're going to get someone else sick. And we're just going to, the rest of us who are trying to be considerate to our fellow man are fucking just going to be waiting longer, you know?
Yep. Keep it. When you with, you know, playing the Doom you guys play, I have wondered, because a lot of the Funeral Doom I listen to, in fact, most if not all the Funeral Booms, like Hooded, Menace, Ahab, a bunch of these bands, you know, they're all European bands. It doesn't seem, at the top of my head, that I can think of a bunch, and I think I know metal pretty well. There's not a lot of Doom bands that, I can say not as successful as you guys are based here in the States. Have you maybe, you know, going around the country, got a taste of, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, why does it seem like Doom is not as prevalent here in the States as it is over in Europe as metal genres go?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty prominent. It just depends on what you're, definition of doom is. You know, Yob is a doom band.
Okay.
There's quite a few. I think that just right now, death metal is super popular, and so that's all you're seeing.
Yeah, because things do come. You know, there's different flavors of the month. You know.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I love death metal. I'm not shitting on it at all.
Of course not. No, I love death metal too. I've gone on record many times. I'm not a black metal guy. I like death and doom. That's where I like. You know, I interviewed Luca of Necrot the other day. So.
Oh yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, okay, extremely nice. You have, you know, been in Denver. Obviously, you know, born and raised, as you had mentioned. You were there before. What I've seen a bunch of these bands popping up on the radar. When did you start to get a taste of the Denver scene? The Denver metal scene was starting to take off. Maybe when you were like your high school days, your middle school days, were you seeing like other friends getting into bands? Like, when did you start to get a sense that, hey, this scene's starting to really be something?
I mean, I feel like Denver started to pop off. So, okay, this is my perspective. Denver started to pop off around the time that Primitive Man started. So I'd say like around like 2012 or 2013. And before that, the only real notable band out of Denver was Cephalic Carnage. I feel like really around then, you know, around when legal weed became a thing and all that, you know.
So on the backs of you guys and the backs of, you know, Chemists and all these bands, you guys have quickly turned into like a staple in the metal world now.
Yeah, which is crazy because when I was growing up, I was begging bands to come here, you know, begging them to give Denver a shot, saying, I know we're in the middle of nowhere, but we're a cool city. We're not, you know, like Wichita, Kansas or something. So, you know, like, you know, we used to have to beg for that. So it's cool now. Everyone just kind of swings through, you know.
Is it that in Denver, is there... Why do you, you know, aside from, you know, the whole legal weed thing and everything like that, is it just like an abundance of venues? Is it just an abundance of like-minded people wanting to play the same type of music?
Denver has a decent amount of venues. We used to have more, but the cops shut a lot of those down.
Okay.
Yeah, live venues and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why it's so good here, but it just is.
Yeah, hey.
I'm a little lucky.
Yeah, really doesn't, at this point, what fucking difference does it make now? Because, you know, it's established now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. Like, it's way better now and a stronger scene than it was when I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid, everyone knew each other. It was a little bit more homegrown and close-knit, but now it's just large and thriving, and there's new bands and stuff happening, you know.
You know, even I have to ask, you know, growing up as a kid, I'm not going to ask the same boring questions that get asked all the time. Like, hey, would you start playing and stuff like that? But was there a early doom band that you liked, or like, even this, was there, like, did you maybe, like, drop a pedal or, like, tweak a knob on the pedal or something that you were like, oh, God. Like, I have a love of video games because I played some game as a kid, and it just tweaked something in my head that, like, my God, I love this style of fucking video game. Was there, like, some pedal you bought as a kid that may have been, like, low on batteries or maybe something that kind of brought this tone out of you that you're like, oh, shit, I like playing this?
Not anything with equipment. I think the first band that really piqued my interest in terms of, like, being slow all the time was Crowbar.
Oh, God. You know what? I still think, you know, for all the shit that Kirk does, you know, with Down and all these other things, it still seems like they are grossly underground still, with, like, the household name among a lot of metalheads, it seems.
I mean, Crowbar are the fucking best. I love that shit. I'll never get tired of it. I feel like they don't get the recognition that they deserve. I mean, they're not a small band anymore, but they're not as big as they should be, you know? Yeah. Especially because down is so huge. It's like, well, I mean, that it's same riff, same riff guy.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. But you know, there's just something about the way Kirk plays and like the Beast Through Suffering album and Broken Glass. Like those are riffs. You know, people say, oh, Matt Pike and hit. Get the hell out of here, Matt Pike and your riffs. Kirk Weinstein has riffs.
I mean, I like Matt Pike, but Kirk is one of my favorite guitar players of all time.
Yeah,
like, I really just can't get enough of that shit.
I like Matt too. You know, no disrespect to him, but Kirk has riffs too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the riff master. I would say that he is the riff master for sure.
Yeah, you know, now being a fan of Kirk and stuff like that, have you ever? I know you have other projects you're into, but you ever really dabbled into the like southern sludge style stuff?
Yeah, I love a lot of those bands, and I've been listening to them for years. And I loved I Hate God growing up, and all that kind of shit.
Is that a world you could ever see yourself maybe playing?
Oh no,
no.
Oh no. I love to listen to it, but I'd never play like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious if that's something, you know, I would think that would be something you'd maybe want to do. It's not like as much as a stretch as like seeing you in like a power metal band.
Well, I mean, so like Scorn has some kind of southern sludge shit in it, her first record, because that record was just supposed to be me putting out a doom record for fun and kind of trying to being able to like do some stuff that was influenced by other bands that I liked. And so the first record definitely has that. But then after it became a serious thing, I kind of wanted to change that direction.
Okay. So, 7 years later, where we find ourselves here on the eve of the release next week, where has the band gone now? Or where has your head gone for how you write the compose songs now?
I mean, you know, we're really doing it together, jamming in the space and just trying to be as heavy as possible and really capture a vibe of just being oppressive and menacing. I want it to sound that way. You know, I want it to be the heaviest thing that I can make, you know,
yeah,
for
me. Are you, we talk about heavy, I'd be remiss if I did not ask, are you into like Sun and their drums?
There?
Yeah. Hello?
I lost you for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would be remiss if I didn't ask. Are you a fan of Sun?
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of Sun.
Yeah, you know, I'm 37, and I say that because I've been listening for decades in metal. I have tried and tried. I don't know. Maybe I am missing it, but I don't know what it is about them that, like, I feel like I want to be part of them. Like, I want to have your response when people ask me.
I mean, I like love that band. I would say that Sun is a huge influence on Primitive Band, even though you might not be able to tell. I think that maybe you haven't. You know, have you seen them live?
I have. I've only seen some video clips.
So I think seeing it live might change it for you. A lot of people that I know that didn't like it at first couldn't understand it for years. You know, I've dragged them to a show or whatever, and it's changed their mind about it. I think that if I were to recommend albums to you, I would tell you to check out Black 1 and White 2 because
okay.
It's significantly different. And even White 1 as well, but Black 1 and White 2, I think, are significantly different than the rest of their catalog to be heard within that music, you know? You just have to find it. Also, the thing that they did with Ulver is amazing, and I would say that one as well.
Okay, now, thank you for the recommendation. That's a great response. I'm sorry your phone broke up for a second when you were describing them, but when you put on Sun's album, like, you know, I put on your music and, you know, I can go for a run, I can go for a hike, and I just listen to it. The thing about Sun, and this is not a disrespect or, you know, a slap in their face, it's just since I don't get it and it is so slow, it for lack of a better term, because I'm an idiot, it just comes off like boring.
I think it's more about atmosphere than it is about a traditional song.
Okay.
I think that maybe don't listen to it until you get to the top of that mountain, and then you're looking at all the things beneath you, you know?
Okay.
I think it might be not good for the push to get you to the top, but once you get to the top, it might be the album to check out.
Jeez, you just blew my fucking mind with that response. Okay. You know, because to their credit, it's just like you said it, but you asked about seeing them live. So my friends who have seen them live, they've said, you know, Buke, it's one of these things where you go and they're like, Matt, you know, you see them when, you know, the darkness and the robes and the fog, and it's an assault on all senses.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So going back to you guys here, so we've been talking about sound and noise and stuff. How is your guys' practice space? Is it, you know, you want to talk about the loudness of a live show?
It's loud. You know, we're playing through all of our gear that we would do a show and practice, you know. We'll kind of play some stuff quietly to work it out. But when we're trying riffs and trying to play things together, it's loud because we need to know exactly how this is going to be and when and change. And there's a lot of, like, this is going to sound really cheesy, but there's a lot of energy and things in the loud amps that you can't get if you're not using them to their full potential. And I try to do things with feedback that you can't do unless the amps are at their loudest potential, and so that's why.
Okay. Now, when you're using amps and pedals and stuff like this, do you like the experimenting with them, like pushing them to their boundaries and seeing what you can do with them? Is there a certain brand that gives you your sound, or how much experimenting did it take before you found the Doom sound that you like, that you and the guys have?
So, you know, all of my distortion comes from the amps. I've been through several different types of amps. That's brought my tone in a similar way. And so, you know, the better amp I get, the more my evolved my tone gets. And it just kind of naturally progresses.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, like Jonathan on bass and stuff, like, is him and Joe, are all you guys on like the same mindset? Like, is Jonathan into like checking out different equipment for his bass too? Is he just as passionate about finding sounds like you are?
Yeah, John is like me. We're always trying new stuff, trying to make the tone as full and good and heavy as possible. And we've gone through a lot of gear changes and like even just 3 years since between Caustic and Immersion, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Hey, I just on a quick, I don't know if you've walked into a bad area or if you're still sitting down, world, but your phone was breaking up there for a second.
Oh, can you hear me now a little better?
I can hear you now better, bud.
Okay, I'll stay away from where I was.
Okay, I'm not trying to be rude.
No, no problem at all. Let's check.
Okay, so with gear and stuff like that, how much of your tone and stuff comes from the guitar you play yourself? And do you experiment a lot with that?
So I played Les Pauls for years and probably for the entire time Primitive Man has been in a band. And then I switched to dumbbell guitars, and I feel like it really helped my sound. And I also switched to a baritone guitar. So, you know, before I was just trying to make a regular six-string Les Paul tune down to A flat and, like, be this thing. And so I wouldn't have as good of a thing at the time.
Sorry, your phone's breaking up again there, bud.
Here, hold on, let me try something.
So, you know, I was using Les Pauls for a long time and tuning them down and putting new bridges on them to make it work and all this kind of thing. And then I switched to Dunnable baritones, and so it's helped with sustain and other things like that. I'm always trying to do a specific thing, but I just get better tools to be able to do it a little better, you know?
Yeah, Ethan, let's say we were having this discussion here, and this wasn't a podcast interview. Let's say, like, you and I were about to start our own guitar company, or if a guitar maker came to you and said, hey, I want to make a McCarty special edition, your own brand. Are there things you want? Me being a PC gamer, like me building my own dream rig, I love doing it. Like, in the guitar world, are there components and makers out there or things you want yet that you still haven't been able to find or have yet?
Yeah, money thing. I really want to get an aluminum neck guitar out to see what that would do for me.
Okay, okay.
You know, that's one thing I'd like to try out. But I really love the shit out of my Dunnables. They're like the nicest instruments I've ever owned. So I guess it's like I would just, if we were going to make a guitar company, I'd be like, we need to rip off Sasha Dunnable and put aluminum neck on these.
How is it that, you know, if I'm not familiar I may be familiar, obviously I'm familiar with music-wise, but how is it that you landed on a Dunnable?
And then, you know, he put one together with what I want, you know, with my specifications and all this stuff. So.
Okay. Yeah, like I say, you know, I love hearing this stuff because my experience with guitar is a fucking plastic guitar playing Rock Band. I don't have a fucking clue. So I'm just envious of what you guys can do and the sounds you guys can make.
Well, then also the thing that I'm leaving now is, you know, I've been playing music since I was 8 years old. And so I've grown up playing the guitar for a long time, and I've had an Ibanez, and I've had a Jackson, and I've had a Fender, and you know, I've gotten to try a lot of different guitars in my time, but then I settled on Les Pauls for over a decade, and a Dunnable just kind of feels like a nicer fit.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Do you know, like, I know how some guys are loyal to, like, PRS and stuff like this. So I can definitely see what you're saying about, like, a nice fit. You know, like, in the car and truck world, those people who are Chevy or Ford guys, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And it's funny you say that because I've driven Ford and Chevy vans for tours, and the Ford vans have always lasted much longer than Chevy. So that's exactly.
Exactly. So that's just your fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing about your music that I love that I think is maybe skirted on or overlooked with some other genres of metal is, I think what I love about doom so much too is that the bass in doom really gets to shine, and that's what I just fucking love.
Yeah, like, Bass is really important to our band.
Oh, God, is it ever? Like, you know, I mentioned you guys playing at Vitus in that video I saw. Just watching Jonathan and being able to visualize him and with the sound that he's playing out, oh, it's fucking amazing. It's awesome.
I mean, I think he has the best bass tone in Doom. I know he plays in my band, but the reason I wanted to play in a band with him was because his tone was so amazing, you know.
How did you hook up with him? Was it just grew up together, just saw him at a show, or what?
So he was in a hardcore band called Reproacher, and I was in a couple of grindcore bands, and we did some tours together, and I just saw he was really impressed by his tone and playing and all that. And then when my grindcore band broke up and I was going to start this Doom band, I was like, I have got to get John from the Reproacher because his bass just sounds so good. And so that's just kind of how it happened. So, you know, we've known each other a long time, done a lot of tours together and shit. And then we also, he came with me on a tour doing merch and driving and stuff. And we just kind of talked about starting a band and all the things we wanted to do. And it's just kind of a combination of all that, you know?
Yeah. Now, you know, does playing grind give you the same excitement like playing Doom does? Obviously, you know, it's two different sides of the spectrum here.
It's just different feelings.
Is
when I'm playing Doom, I feel like I'm carrying a mountain. And when I'm playing grindcore and faster music like that, I feel like I'm a rabid dog.
Oh, you know, can I borrow one of these or two? My God, what a fucking excellent description. Oh.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned. I was listening to Prowler in the Yard the other day.
And legendary album.
Oh, but, hey, a lot of times I have said, you know, in talking with people that I don't get grind. But then I saw a comment on Reddit the other day about Prowler in the Yard, and it really struck me. What makes a grind so amazing when it's done well is all the different sounds that grind can put into, like, a song that lasts 1:30 or 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, did you ever get into Anti-Warfare?
No.
Oh, man, you got to
check it out. Not because I've ever given them a chance, just because I could say I've never been recommended them.
No, you got to check them out. Like, so if you like that million things packed into 45-second vibe, you should really check out Anti-Warfare and Disgust. There's a ton of great grindcore. And for newer stuff, there's this record out by a band called Cosmic Wounds that just came out, and that is a ripper. So if you like Prowling in the Yard, I think that you might be able to get down with that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. You ever had a chance to see Pig Destroyer live?
Yeah, I've seen it about 3 times.
You want to, my God, I was just describing them to somebody in that same conversation a week ago or so. Fucking Pig Destroyer Live is just amazing. Oh,
yeah, man.
God.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I have to kind of give it credit because I'm a no disrespect to anybody in Pig Destroyer. I'm a bigger guy. I'm 6'1", like almost 300 pounds at a time. I'm kind of slimmed down now. Have I gone through health issues? So I love when I see my fellow big guys up there just kicking ass. I fucking love it.
I mean, I love that shit too. You know, I'm 6'6", and you know, I'm a big dude. I get all pumped about it when I see bigger dudes up there. I'm like, hell yeah!
I'm like, fucking hell yeah!
Like, skinny people out of there.
Believe me, I'm the one who has tried to put on battle vests over the years, and I'm like, my God, just looks like I'm wearing a sports bra.
Yeah, I gave up that 5 years ago.
it's like you and I try and put on a back patch, and it looks like it's one of the normal small patches.
I mean, you know, that's just annoying. So especially like when bands will make sure it's like 2X, 3X, and
yeah,
the print is small in the middle shirt, and so it looks all.
It was, yeah. That is the one thing about you guys. I know, you know, you're not making the shirts, but I know I could always probably find a Primitive Man shirt in my size that'll work.
We always make bigger sizes because we know about the pain.
God, what? Yeah, what a. You being, you know, 6'6" and stuff like that. Are there times that when, you know, you finish a set, you know, as opposed when you're a smaller, like a Bruce Dickinson, you know, you're running around on stage like a madman. He could probably do it for 3 hours. You ever get on stage and you're like, my God, I just did a fucking insanity workout here.
I mean, I'm always tired when we're done.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Man, God, what a great laugh. Well, Ethan, you and I have had a bunch of fucking laughs here. This has been a fun interview. Ethan, I said it before I started recording, but I want to get this on record that everybody I spoke to before I conducted this interview and let them know I was going to be talking to you if they had any questions, everybody has told me that you are, to quote my friend word for word, you are genuinely one of the nicest people he has ever spoken to. So that definitely shined through here in speaking to you. So I really appreciate your time today. Again,
thank you.
Primitive Man releases Immersion on the 14th. I was checking Bandcamp and everywhere. It's through Relapse Records. It's on CD. You guys have a cassette. Was that a conscious effort on your part to put out a cassette?
Yeah, I always still buy tapes and put out tapes and everything I do. And I think the first meeting that I got the music on, so I'm loyal to them.
Okay, now, as a guy who has vinyl, as a guy who has a tape player, I still listen. I was spinning the Chemist cassette the other day. Streaming? What do you recommend? What's the best way? Because I consider myself a high-end audio guy. What's the best way to listen to Primitive Man to get your guys' sound? Is it by somebody who's hearing this? They go buy your cassette or buy a vinyl. What's the best way?
I think an LP is probably the best way.
Yeah, I would agree.
It just has a better sound. Some people like to make fun of that shit like it doesn't have a better sound than it does. So I think that's
I would agree. Well, Ethan, I really appreciate the time speaking to you today. To you and your family, the rest of the guys in the band, I really hope you guys continue to stay safe during this time. And I know that we'll see you on the road when things slow down again.
And then you'll be safe as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ethan.
Take care.